Everybody, welcome to tonight's pep talk. We are so excited to have you here tonight. It is going to be a great pep talk, and we are looking past into what happened last year and looking forward into the into next year. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Rachel is with me tonight. Yay! I would like you to notice the difference in our attire. I am wearing three layers and a hat. Rachel is not wearing three layers and a hat. She is wearing something with her shoulders cut out, which makes you think it's probably warm where she's at, but it's not where I'm at.
It's 62. It's cold.
Oh, burr, 62. Eek. Yeah, I know that's cold for you Floridians. So, but anyway, we're glad that you could be here tonight, and we're glad that everyone else has joined us tonight. It's going to be fun. I hope you guys had a good, I heard you were fabulous last week, Rachel. So thank you so much for filling in. You're just awesome.
Anytime.
And it was great. It was great. I was away at my mastermind and hanging out with everyone and thinking through all the great stuff we're going to do at My Book Therapy this year and Novel Academy. Woohoo! So anyway, so we're going to be talking about it tonight. So yes, Florida next month, Donna. That's right. Deep Thinkers Retreat. And tomorrow, everybody's going to get their Deep Thinkers packet. So if you are signed up for Deep Thinkers, look for your mail tomorrow. All right. Looking forward, looking back. So the reason I like to do this class is because I think that even for me, I kind of forget what we learned over the past year. And you know, we're not going to actually go recap the whole year, like what we all learned, but rather I'm going to recap some of the lessons that we had. And I do that because I myself need to sometimes go back and read and watch them again or tap into them because I kind of forget what I've learned. And so I kind of like to go through this so that you guys will remember sort of the storehouse that we have. And you can kind of go back and go, oh, yeah, I wanted to see that one again or whatever. So it just kind of reminds you of what we've got in the vault. So you can go back and take a look at that. And then, of course, I'm going to tell you all the good stuff that we're going to be doing next in 2019. And I cannot wait. It's going to be a great, great year. So Rachel and I are each other's writing partners. And so that's one of my favorite things about being a writing partner with Rachel. I get to read her books before they come out. So anyway, all right. So if you guys remember, we started the year with Called to Create, which was that fabulous book by Jordan Rayner. And it just talked about what does it mean to create, to be a creator, to be an entrepreneur. And we dove into that. And I really loved it. The discussion was great. The content was fabulous. But it really talked about taking a risk for your writing, but being assured that what you're doing as a writer is important in this world, that we are called to do this. And we are called not just to create, but to take our creations very seriously and to put them out there in the world. And so it was one of the things I loved about Called to Create. So if you haven't watched that series, that's a good one to watch just to kind of remind yourself why you're doing what you're doing. And for me, it really set me free in a lot of ways where I was like, yes, I should promote this. Yes, I should embrace, you know, my creative side. You know, sometimes as creators, we're, you know, we shy away from, well, I'm not a crazy writer. I don't drink while I write, but you know, and that's good. But you know, we need to embrace the fact that we are creatives and we need to do creative things to help nurture our creative spirit. So that was the first thing we did. And this year we're doing another book study, which I'll get to in a second. But so that was the first one we did. And I really loved that. And we try to dive into writer's life in some way to nurture that creative spirit and help people because we're really about the whole person here. It's not just craft. It's not just business. It's not just career. It's writing life as well, because we're really interested in how does our writing flow over into other parts of our life, and other parts of our life flow into our writing as well. So that's a huge thing. So we also dove into craft. And so one of my favorite things this year was Good to Great. And Good to Great, if you guys remember, was the story that I took. So we had an aspiring writer who had written a rough draft, and it had come to us with her rough draft and said, please help us fix this, or please help me fix this. And she pretty much gave me carte blanche to just go through and fix it. So we started at the beginning and we looked at the structure of the story, and we looked at, you know, the characterization. We did the SEQ on the characters. We looked at the plot, and then we said, okay, what isn't working? And I had read the manuscript, and so I was able to pull out what wasn't working. We looked at the framework. We looked at the character, the essential scenes. We said, what's missing? We looked at the romance elements. We said, what's missing arising from that. And then what we did is we looked at the theme and we said, how could we weave that through? And we gave ourselves an action plan. And so, and I did this because I really wanted you guys to see a rewrite in action. A lot of times, and we did teach on rewriting at the end of the year this year, but, and we're going to be teaching next year also on rewriting, but it can be challenging to know how actually to attack your manuscript. I know for myself, you know, I have to have sort of a plan of action and take it step by step, or else it can be super overwhelming. So the reason we did Good to Great was so that you guys could see, well, this is how you do it. You break it apart in this way. And then we went on and we started really looking at the chapters, and we looked at chapter one and we rewrote that. And we looked at chapter two and rewrote that. And what we did is we looked at our plan. We looked at the SEQ. We looked at the current chapters. We pulled out the things that we liked, and then we retooled it. We made a new structure, and then we rewrote it. And what we were trying to do is just make it stronger. And that's really what a rewrite is about. So we've gone chapter by chapter with that rewrite, and that was been, we're on chapter four. So we're going to be continuing. It's a novella. So it's only, you know, like 30,000 words. We're going to be continuing with act two this year. So we'll get to that in a minute. We also had a POV class, and I kept the dates in here so that you guys could go back and look for them if you wanted to. And maybe Lisa can put together, I think she's putting together an Excel sheet so that you guys can actually access them directly. But the POV class is a great class. And what we did with the POV class is we actually went through all the different points of view. And we said, okay, what is, you know, what's the first person point of view? What's the third person point of view? And some of the other points of view. And we then gave you examples of when you would use these particular points of view. And so, and what we did is we really dissected deep third POV. We started to understand standard third and what that means. And we actually gave you some examples of what that was. And then we actually gave you some tips on writing in first person as well, and so that you could see how to access first person in a way that's not just, you know, what do they call it, where it's like you just right, stream of consciousness. It wasn't just stream of consciousness, but it's actually an art that you're putting that on the page. And so that's one of the things that we did. And then we brought you through, I went through five different versions of me trying to find the voice for one of my characters, because sometimes what happens is you start out a book and it's in the wrong voice. And this is exactly what I did. So I brought you through a staged examples of how I went from first person to third, to deep third, and why I did what I did. And so that's a really fun class for looking for learning what are the different POVs, how do you access them, how do you, you know, what are the, how, when would you use them, and how do you know which POV to use, which voice do you need to use for your writing? Not necessarily POV on the page. We already know, you know, you write the POV of the person that has the most at stake, but rather the voice. Is it going to be first person, third person, deep third, standard third, those sorts of things? All right. All right. Then we went and we did the Enneagram. And the Enneagram was probably my favorite class. It was a two-part class. And so the two-part class had the overview. Terry taught it. It was just fabulous. It had an overview of the nine elements of the Enneagram, which were fascinating. And then in part two, Terry went and she dissected each one using the SEQ. And when she put her SEQ with the Enneagram to show how she put a story together, my mind blew up. And I know everybody's in the chat did too. It was like, what is going on? And so seeing that really helped. If you have not seen the Enneagram class, I would encourage you to watch it, because it really helps you understand the wound. So in the SEQ, the story equation, we talk a lot about the wound and then the lie and the fear and how all of those create your complete character. The Enneagram is a real life personality test, and it just directly deals with the wounds that we have and how they shape our personality. So coupling this SEQ with the Enneagram is a great story crafting technique, because it's like suddenly all your, the SEQ is what I liked. It was like ratified. See, it does actually work. But moreover, it helps you go deeper into your character and really nail his personality type. And then it gives you ideas for his flaws and his fears and things like that. Now, I do want to say that as you're crafting your story, you do need to let your character speak for himself. I mean, you're not going to put him in this box, but it will give you so much great direction on how you're going to build your character. So if you haven't seen the Enneagram, two-part class. I would encourage you to do that. There's going to be more of Enneagram coming up this year. All right. This was one of my favorite classes as well. This was a class that we did on upping your game, things I learned from Donald Musk and how to apply them. So I sat in a Donald Musk seminar, and then I took all my notes and I taught the class on what Donald Musk taught. Now, I did tell you his book and everything that you needed to get, and I didn't tell you everything about Donald Musk and what he taught, but I pulled the highlights of things that I felt were really important. And so one of the things we talked about is immersive POV and scenes, how to dive deeper into your POV to really get into the emotional element of the story. So we talked a lot, and this is something I've been doing with my scenes. We talked a lot about the turning point in a scene. How is he different at the beginning than he is at the end, or vice versa? How do we make that change of something in the scene? We talked a little bit about how something has to change in the scene. So it's either the plot or the emotion or the stakes or the truth. Something needs to change. And again, there's, you know, you always have to do it in, you know, through the emotions of the character, and you always have to have something that they can lose in the scene. So that was really, really interesting to talk about that element. We talked a lot about character change as a whole and how to access that character change. So, you know, what defines your character? How is it wrong? So how is it a flaw? Is it a weakness or a strength? Is it just an excuse? And we dove deeper into why is your character the person that he is? And then we looked at how we can show the change physically, emotionally, and then show that lie that he believes, where he goes from the lie he believes to the truth that sets him free, right? So and we talked a little bit about what is left behind when he's changed, what does he sacrifice, and then, of course, our favorite thing, what can he do at the end that they can't at the beginning. So we talked a lot about that character change and taking him deeper. And then we talked about energy and how things that move the story from stored energy, where we have a bunch of information, to kinetic energy, which is the movement of the story. And so Donald Moss had some great insights on how to take your stored energy. How does he, how do you take that information that he's been giving in a scene that's rather static and move it into action in the scene? And then we did the backside, from kinetic action in the scene to then the reaction scene. So in our vernacular, we would call this from a reaction scene to an action scene, right? And then we would call this an action scene to a reaction scene. So just some more little cool hints that he gave on how to do that. He's a really interesting teacher, and he talks a lot about tips that you can use. And then I took that and I said, here's how it works in a story. So if you've sat under Donald Moss, he's got lots and lots of great ideas. What I like to do is take his ideas and talk about how do you implement them into your story. All right. And then we talked a lot about how to get unstuck. You know, so what's blocking your protagonist from getting what they want? What is paralyzing him? What can be revealed to break him free? And so we talked a lot about change in that way. So craft is one of my favorite topics. And I love to dive into craft, but we've talked about craft so much here at Novel Academy. We have craft, you know, classes on everything from story world to emotion to scenes to, you know, plotting and everything. And so that Donald Moss class was something that was a little bit different that I really, really loved accessing. So I would encourage you to watch that one again. All right. Then one of the most favorite things that we did, I thought, was hot seats. All right. So we started implementing hot seats and feedback this year, and they were hugely popular. One of the most popular ones was our Ask Rachel nights. And so what she would do is come on and she would just answer your questions. And, you know, she's so brilliant, and it was such a great fun thing because you got to interact with her and get her feedback on all sorts of questions that we had. And then a lot of times people submitted their problems, their hot seats. And so I would encourage you to listen to those, because you always learn from other people's problems, right? It's like, why do we listen to talk shows or, you know, these sorts of things? People have problems and we go, oh, how many of you are watching that new show about the organizer, Marie Kondo or whatever? I haven't seen it yet. But, you know, there's this all this stuff on that, because people want to know, how do I get out of where I am to this thing. So I would encourage you to listen to some of those feedbacks. The neat thing is that people actually submitted their scenes, and we were able to actually walk through their scenes too. So if you are interested in not just solving problems, but actually seeing how people work through their scenes and our suggestions for making them stronger or whatever, then I would suggest picking up and watching some of those. Now, the neat part is that we actually did this every week during NaNoWriMo. So every week we had a hot seat and people submitted their questions, and then we were able to give feedback on that. And I really love that, because I don't know about you guys, but one of my biggest challenges isn't necessarily the middle of the book, although that can be, it's just making sure I get it right. So we did a lot of brainstorming of the SEQ, understanding the greatest fear, values, and our competing values, and the greatest dream, and really understanding the lie and the truth, and you know, all of those things that our character needs to access. And so again, if you have not seen an SAQ brainstormed, I would encourage you to watch those NaNoWriMo ones, because they are really interesting, because we've actually taken people with just a sketchy little idea. And we really, boy, I remember Sharon had some really tough questions and she just did great. It's a little scary to come on here, and I have to applaud everybody that did this, because like Rachel Russell got on and did it. And it just was so helpful to everyone else to have them be brave enough to come and talk about their story. And then we were able to help them, and they hopefully were able to get a great story, but it also helped other people with their stories. So that was really, really good. All right. So, and of course, this is the story equation. If you have not seen the story equation ever, then I would encourage you to download this slide. You get it free when we should have sent it. All the members should have gotten it, and you should have gotten it if you're here tonight. But this is the key to understanding your characterization and then being able to pull out the plot. And so we just talked through each one of these pieces. And if you haven't accessed the story equation classes, we have a whole group of classes on how to build your story equation and how to then put it into a plot in our vault. All right, we created what was called a rough D chart with a couple people that they came on, and we walked through their cost. You know, we started with basically the D is the middle of the book, right? So you've got your noble quest, you've got your act one, life, inciting incident, great debate, noble quest, right? So that's act one. Then you launch them on into the act two, right? Well, this is all of your act two big elements: disappointment one, cost reward, disappointment two, a man in the mirror, a disaster, destruction, devastation, black moment event. So we've defined these more into act 2A and act 2B, and we have a lot, we dig down a lot, but this is what we use for high level plotting, and it really helps me understand the big turning points of your story. So, and we did this early on in November with someone. We just plotted that D chart. And if you're plotting a story right now and you really don't know where to start with your plot, just start throwing out ideas how to make it worse for your character on an emotional level, on a physical level, and even on an inner level, inner character change, a truth lie level, spiritual level, right? Because we want to take all those ideas, and I actually showed a board of my ideas. It was just full of sticky notes, and then I take it and I kind of line it up. And this is a really great way to just do high level brainstorming and then taking it deeper into the plot. When we're dealing with a plot, we need to, you know, it's good to have lots of ideas, but then you have to define it according to your character and what he wants. And so always remember that you have to take your character's goal and you have to say, okay, what obstacle directly relates to that goal? Now, once he gets past that obstacle, he might have a new goal that spiders him off, but whatever obstacle you create has to stand in front of that new road that he's going on, not one over here. So that's just a little thing that helps me when I'm plotting, is that am I standing directly in the path of my character's goal? And if I am, then I'm creating the right obstacles. All right. We had on, let me see here. This one, let me go back. This, no. All right. So November 15th, make a note of that, because that was the day that we talked about tension, creating scene tension. And that was a really great class, because we talked about, we're right all in the middle of our books. We're all in the middle of the act two. And so we talked about how to get how to create, keep the tension going and how to keep it high. And that can be a real problem in a story, because what happens is that we launch off. Act one is so exciting and great. We get into act two, and in the beginning of act two could be great. And then we sort of plummet, right? Until we get to the black moment. Well, we don't want to plummet. We want to keep raising the tension. It needs to keep going higher and higher, right? So we talked a lot about how you can raise dramatic tension through anticipation, clues, a ticking time bomb, a subplot. And then we drilled down into scenes themselves. And I taught you the scene tension equation. And that is a character who wants something for a good reason, but he has something to lose. So he creates a goal, but standing in front of that goal is a real obstacle. And he may or may not get over that obstacle. And it's that fear of failure. Either he gets past it, but we fear he is not going to, or he doesn't succeed, but we think that he is. One of those two things causes us to have tension in the scene, and then we end the scene with a new problem. So we talked a lot about that story structure, and then we showed how you could make that happen. And we've done that throughout the year, especially when we did our feedback scenes. People would submit scenes, and we talked a lot about how to retool that. So if you're looking for how to create tension in your story, that November 15th pep talk was a really good one in terms of helping people knock through that. All right. And then November 29th, we talked through the epic ending. And we talked about how to create the happily ever after. And because we were all at the end of NaNoWriMo, and we needed to remember how to do that, right? And so we talked a little bit about Act 3, that black moment, which is the black moment event and the effect. We talked about the epiphany and how to access that, the truth that they need to have, the overhaul or the flaw that is repaired. And so now they can do so. There's a new man, right? And we talked about the new man. What can he do at the end that he can't at the beginning? Guys, I can't even tell you how important this question is. I just finished a book. It's called Wyatt, and it's part of my Montana Marshall series. And his little thing he does at the end is so bad and feeble. And I'm like, I did not end this book well. And so even I have to go back to my story and say, what is my happy ending? What is that going to look like? Have I successfully created an act three with a powerful black moment and that overhaul and even the final battle and the happy ending? So it's just so important to do all these pieces. And, you know, I know that I teach a lot about checklists and, having, structure and this sort of thing. And it's not because I'm like so about the structure. It's the fact that we latch on to story elements, and you can put things in different order. But I like to talk about cookies when I talk about this, because it's like you wouldn't make a chocolate chip cookie without flour, right? Now, maybe you would. I mean, when you have lots of kinds of flour, now you have almond flour and coconut flour and all sorts of flour. But the reality is you still need flour of some type, right? And you still need some sort of sweetener, and you still need some sort of chocolate chips, and you still need, all of these kind of things. And so even if you do something different, you need to have basic ingredients. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about structure, is these are the ingredients that you need to have in your story. Otherwise, we don't have we don't have the ignition start. We don't have all the elements of the middle. We don't have the change. And then we especially don't have the triumphant ending. So it's really important to at least familiarize yourself with those elements. We talked a lot about the final battle in that last class. And the final battle is that final push to the end. So after they've had their epiphany, they're a new man, but they still have to do something to complete their journey, right? And it's that thing that they couldn't do at the beginning. And it can be a big thing, it can be a small thing, but we just need to see that they are moving forward, and they are a changed person, and they're not going to go back to their old ways. So we talked about the happily ever after, and we talked about how it was part greatest dream and part greatest dream and part wound healing, right? So you heal their wounds and you give them a piece of their greatest dream, and then we are happy at the end. And that's a really small little tool, but it really works. And it's such a great way for your reader to be like, oh, I see how this worked. I really love it. All right. Finally, we ended with editing, and we did a class on what's next. And I talked through how to, what to do after your book is done, how to take a break, and then all the different stages of editing, which I know a lot of you are doing right now as you go through this year. And so just take it slow, just revisit it. I know for me, you know, I have to kind of go back and restructure. I do exactly what I did with Good to Great. I look at the book, I say, what's missing? I give myself an action plan, and then I start rewriting the book. So we talked at length about editing. So if you're looking for a class on editing, the Thursday, December 6th class is a really great class on that. All right. And then we finally ended with a quick and dirty trick to making sure you have a sellable story. And you guys, as you're writing your book, this is the other slide that you really should keep, because it really will help you see, do you have all the pieces of your story? If you can't answer these questions, then you may be missing pieces of your story. So this is kind of my little litmus test to say, okay, did I tell my story correctly? Do I have all the pieces? Do I have an adjective and noun for my character? What does he want? So he does what? But then he discovers this is the conflict, so he must do what? Or else. See, these are the big pieces. And so just use that as your grid to go through and say, have I accomplished my story? All right, so that was all the craft stuff that we did. But then we also did a lot with career, business, and industry, because we are all about helping you build careers here. We really, you know, we know, let's be honest, a great story sells the next story and the next story. So you've got to get your craft right. Your craft will not, if you tell a bad story, people aren't going to read the next one. So you got to get that right. But once you do that, there's a bunch of other stuff that you need to do in order to help you up your game, right? And so we talked about Amazon advertising at length. We're going to be upgrading that this year. Amazon has a new platform, just redid some of their stuff, which is really, really interesting. But we talked at length about Amazon advertising and all the different kinds of ads. We did a breakdown between sponsored ads and display ads. I helped you understand the difference between automatic targeting and manual targeting and how to target by other elements. We talked about how to create copy using short, punchy sentences, appealing to your target market, using author's name, asking questions, things that will help you write good copy for your ad. So we talked about, we didn't just talk about how it works. We talked about how to create good copy. I gave you some great examples of that. And then I showed you how to read the dashboard and how to understand ROI and impressions and clicks and spend. And we went through all of that and how to improve your ROI, how to get better at these ads. If you are venturing into Amazon ads, this is not a Mark Dawson class. This is not drilling down into, there's not a math. There's no math. There's a little math, but it's very easy math. And so this is an overview for the person that wants to manage their own advertising and is willing to jump in a little bit. It doesn't require you to have a math degree. I just kind of simplify it, but give you enough information so that you actually can make some good decisions, right? So if you're looking for an Amazon course for you guys to dive into that, this is a good one. We'll put a lot of work into it. And I think it's been working for me. I've seen my ad sales go, or my book sales go up after I implemented a lot of these things. And so try the Amazon course. And then I talked about ways that you could use Amazon ads. So different kinds of ads for different kinds of products and different kinds of purposes. So launch products, after the book's launches, this sort of thing. So we gave a lot of info on that. So you could look at it in different scenarios. Now, we also did that with Facebook ads. We had actually a two-part class on Facebook ads, and we went through all the different kinds of posts and so that you could understand the different kinds of ads authors could use. And then we looked at when you would use those particular posts and why you would use them. And then we looked at your ad and we said, okay, how do you make that decision? And so we had some ideas of how, okay, you make your decision. Are you going to try to get new newsletter readers? Are you launching a book? Are you having a book party? And we broke down the ads per category. And we said, this ad would work for this kind of thing. And so everybody's different and you're going to launch your books differently, but having some understanding of what works when and how is really important when you're dealing with Facebook ads, because it can be challenging. One of the things we talked about was targeting audiences and how to find that right audience, broad audience, specific audience, and realizing that you might need to do two or three different kinds of ads out there. It might even be more than that. And then what I did is I actually brought you into the interface and we created an ad live so that you guys could see it. And I took screenshots and so that it wasn't going to slow things down. But I went through and I showed you with arrows all the things that you needed to do. We talked through copywriting. We talked about images. And I went step by step with creating the ads. So you can see here, this is an example of going step by step. And we just kind of broke it all apart so you could see where everything went and how to create it. And then finally, I showed you some ads that I had done. We went through like 6 or 7 ads. And so I showed you the kind of ads and whether they worked, and I kind of gave you an analysis of each one of them. So if you're looking again for a Facebook class that's not like 20 hours long, these are 2 hours, and it will just kind of give you the basics of Facebook ads, enough for you to make informed decisions. And then if you want to go further into Facebook, you can buy one of those, you know, $900 courses or whatever. But this one you get with your membership. And I've taken the $900 courses, so I really did try to apply everything that I had learned into this class. And so you can, you're going to get a lot more stuff. You're going to get a lot of stuff here that you would probably get in the 900 class, not as much because they do math and all that kind of stuff in there, but it's going to give you a good start. All right. Mid-year review. All right. So this is where like I said, we talk about the big life, like everything, right? We talk about who you are and your habits and your strengths and your weaknesses and how do you accomplish what you want to accomplish, right? And it were really about, you know, I always like to say that if you haven't been changed by your writing journey, you've missed the point, right? And so part of that is assessment. And so we did this mid-year assessment, and it wasn't quite on July 7th. I think it was a couple weeks later. But anyway, it was shortly after the mid-year. And I talked about what's called the 12-week sprint. And we talked about focus, concentration plus energy equals impact. And I taught you guys about how to do a 12-week sprint, except not in consecutive 12 weeks, but rather in a concentrated effort. So we talked a little bit about how I do my 12-week sprints, and I kind of switched it up so that you guys could figure out how to make it work for you. And we actually put a 12-week sprint together. I taught you about time budget templates, and so I gave you my secret on how I get everything done that I need to get done during the course of a day. We talked about how it might work for someone who is working full-time or working part-time and writing part-time, or has, you know, is home with the kids or homeschooling or whatever and only has a couple of times. We looked at different things called time templates, and I taught about that. I talked about some tactics, habit stacking, the weekly scorecard. The weekly scorecard, guys, is so easy. It really is just you can look at your whole week and see how you did. But here's an idea. You can just like write. This is one thing that I like to do. I like to write down my writing time and my hours. And then at the end of the week, I like count up my hours, and then I can go, oh my gosh, this week I wrote, you know, 17 hours of writing or whatever. And it just makes me see that every day, you know, you can, like, if you decide you're going to write every day, just put a little smiley face in your calendar, and suddenly you've got these streaks of smiley faces, and you're like, look, I showed up for all those poems, you know, whatever it is. But weekly scorecards kind of helps you see how you did. And then we talked about brilliant bursts, and brilliant bursts are like those moments where you're like, have tons of energy to create something, and then just blocking that off and going, okay, this isn't going to be like this all the time, but today I have a brilliant burst and I'm going to do something awesome. All right. And then I talked about Miracle Morning, and I talked about one of my habit stacks that just helped me get stuff done. So really it was, I would say that this class was maybe an introduction to the planner class. It was sort of this is how I get stuff done kind of class, although it did include the 12-week streak, which is a little bit different than what I teach in the, not different, but it's in the Brilliant Planner class, not necessarily in the planner. And so, but if you are interested in habits that will help you get the writing done, then I would encourage you to watch that class, the mid-year class around in July sometime, because it's a really great class about just kind of readjusting your life so that you can show up to do the work. And sometimes I need to listen to that class again, because sometimes I don't always do what I say. but you know, it's like when I did that class, it's just, you just need adjustments like in your life. You just need assessments. And I like to assess at the end of every month, but you know, you can, it just once a year is good. But this has all sorts of hacks and tips and tricks and things that I use to get stuff done. All right. And this was basically your, the 12-week sprint. This was a way to, you know, just sort of put it all together. And so, you know, it was about looking at your vision. What do you want to accomplish? Creating your goals, giving yourself a deadline, divide it into 12 weeks, give each week a list of tasks or tactics, create a time template, habit stack for success, evaluate and assess, get an accountability partner, and then reward yourself. So these were kind of the overview of what we talked about. Gene says, I'm not doing what I say either. Yeah, Gene, high five right there. So we are going to try them in 2018. Actually, I do a lot of what I say, but every once in a while I have a day where I'm like, you know, I'm in my pajamas, binge watching Mrs. Maisel or something, right? So, all right, we'll call that well, we won't call it anything. Let's call it slothiness. So never, Rachel says. Yes, right. All right. Career planning and business plans. Why did we talk about this? Because I saw a significant need for people when I was meeting with them one-on-one, not you guys necessarily, but other writers when I was out at writers conferences just didn't have like a plan. And so I thought, you know, we just need to talk about business plans. And because we are entrepreneurs and we're business people and we have to think like business people. So we are creatives, but so we're not going to be like totally, you know, number crunchers, but we are going to have a plan. So I went through a business plan and I talked through how do you put that together and why, you know, why should you do it? And I gave you steps on how to create that. We talked about how it starts with who you are. So your business plan should center around you and your unique selling point and what do you excel in. And so we talked a lot about, you know, what makes my books different from Rachel's or Terry's or Lisa's and anyone else's that is out there and how can we capitalize on that difference? What can you bring to the market that no one else can? And when we start with that position, then we can walk into our strengths and capitalize on them to create the empire that we're looking for, right? So my strength is series, and I'm really, and I've got these two series going on right now that are coming together, and I'm really excited. But I just, once I figured that out, I just dove in. I used to like look at Rachel and go, oh, I want to be like Rachel and write these amazing literary romances that are standalones and get made into movies and, you know, whatever. And I was... I was kind of jealous. And then I was like, no, Susie, you are good at series. You need to write a series because that's what I read. I do read Rachel's books. I love Rachel's books, but I also read a lot of series. And I was like, just be content with what you're doing. And I do love what I'm doing. And I think when we find that sweet spot of what we're good at and dive in, it really blows up and becomes this powerful thing, right? We talked about tactics, how to go from who to your strategy to your tactics and how to put that together in a plan. This is a really great class, you guys, for 2019. If you're still in your sort of battle plan for the year part of your planning, this would be a really, really great class for you to take because it really walks through all of these pieces all the way down to a publishing strategy and what you're going to work on for this year. And I do talk about it in the planner. The planner is designed in the beginning, if you've gone through the planner course, to ask these specific questions. But if you want to drill but it kind of makes you think through, okay, these things, and it focuses mostly on writing. But if you want to just do the whole, you know, blueprint, the whole business plan, this is a really good class to take. Creating a publishing strategy is essential, and it's something that I do. I have a 3-year publishing strategy, and so, but I sort of tweak it every year, right? So I walk into that year and I'm like, okay, and I ask myself those questions that I put in the beginning of my planner, and then I tweak my strategy. But then I look at the next 2 years and I go, okay, what am I going to do here? And so I have sort of a plan of what I'm going to do. And I think it really helps because it keeps you focused on what you're writing. And if you are focused on what you're writing, then you're not detoured by all these other like little ideas that are out there, which can be really detouring, right? Distracting. Yes, those things, right? And basically what you're asking is how many books do you need to write and sell to create the income you desire? Now, I know that some of you are still at the beginning phase where you're still writing the books and you haven't actually sold them yet, but you still need to start to make some really, really good habits so that when you are selling them, you actually are creating income for yourself. So learning to do these habits now are key for your success later on. And the more you write, you guys, the better you'll get. That's just the truth of it. So it's like, you know, if you're like, well, I'm just going to write one book this year and revise it. Well, that's great. And maybe that's what you can do. And if so, do that. That is fantastic. If you are like, you know, I'm going to write 3 books this year and, you know, I'm going to revise those books, you know, that's, you know, you're upping your game. I always say that the key to a great career is quantity, quality, and quickness, right? So you've got to master those three things. And your quantity, you know, you'll master as you become quicker. And of course, you've got to really work on your quality. So, you know, you've got to start someplace, do what you can, show up, you know, write, you know, maybe 1 hour a week. And if that's what you can do, then bravo, you're doing it, man. That's awesome. If you've gotten that under your belt and now you're like showing up 3 times a week, that's great. You know, and so you got to write where you're at, but it doesn't hurt to push yourself a little bit too, because the more you push, it took me 4 books before I was published. I wrote 4 complete books. I revised one of those books about 5 times. It eventually got published after I'd revised it 7 times. Yes. So, you know, it takes everybody a while to get published. And so, but you've got to start putting in the work, right? All right, so I gave you an outline on how to create a business plan. If you haven't done this, you guys, it's really a great exercise. I would encourage you to do it. It just really helps you figure out your life. Rachel says she rewrites 6 times for each book. Okay, in full disclosure, I also rewrite. I write the book, and then I rewrite the book, and then I edit the book, and then I rewrite the book, and then I proof the book. So I have at least 5 times. So this is true. But I scrapped the whole book and rewrote it from scratch 7 times. And so, but it is, you know, I mean, even Rachel and I reread our books 5 times. So keys to success: know yourself, know your reader, know the industry, plan the work, work the plan, right? All right. We did a launch your book blueprint. Okay, so I got very, very specific in this class, and we talked about what you should do. We talked about 2 different kinds of launches. We talked about a hard launch with a pre-order, and we had dates like 60 days out, do this, 40 days out, do this, 20 days out, do this, 10 days out, do this, 5 days out, blah, 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 blah. I had specific to-do lists. Excuse me, for each one of those. And we talked about what a hard launch was. Then we talked through a soft launch and what if you put it in KU. And we talked about, you know, what does a soft launch mean? And we went through all these different scenarios. So if you are about ready to launch a book, I would encourage you to take that class, because it really helps you work through all the different scenarios so that you can decide what's best for you for this particular book. Not every book is going to be launched the same. Not every person is the same in terms of your personality, what you like to do. So you really need to look at what's going to work for you and what kind of launch you're doing and what you're looking for an outcome, right? We talked about some tricks, some scenarios. So, you know, is this book 3, 4, or 5? What could you do with those kind of books? If it's not the first one, what kind of pulse things could you do? And yes, this was for indie authors, but I have brought these techniques to my trad publishers and said, could we try these? And they have done some of these things and it's helped. So even if you're a trad author, even if you're not writing indie, you can still take these techniques and bring them to your publisher, and they're always open to marketing ideas. And so I would encourage you to listen to that regardless of who you are, what you're publishing, and saying, what can I use for our purposes for my particular book. All right. And then I actually showed you results of what I had. This was in October, and I had put these books out in the summer. So it gave you some real hard numbers in terms of where I was at. And I was just really, really open with what I did so that you guys could see and just kind of say, okay, that works, it doesn't work, and that sort of thing. And then finally, we ended the year with a Christmas novella breakdown. I actually brought you into and getting back to craft, I suppose this should have been the craft section. Somebody had asked me, how do you actually put the elements of the Lindy Hop and the essential scenes and all those things into your story? So I actually went live with my Scrivener. I opened up a book, and I went chapter by chapter, scene by scene, and I showed you how I incorporated all of those things. So if you're looking for a way to actually put those pieces into your novel, the hint of the greatest fear, the lie that he believes, or the flaw that he has, these kind of things, that class actually opened it up, and I highlighted and I put into the class, and I walked through each one of those pieces so that people could see it. And then I sent out the manuscript in its very bad rough form with those highlights in it so you guys could see it. So it was a way for you guys to actually see how to implement it. And then we ended the year with sacred rest. And No, you're like, whoosh, that's a lot of stuff. But I really felt like we needed to talk about how we are so busy and how we need to slow down and we need to say, wait, I need to put some rest in our lives. And it wasn't just rest like I'm binge watching Mrs. Maisel. It's rest like, how am I depleted? So we talked about emotional rest, physical rest, mental rest, sensory rest, creative rest, and one other, I can't remember, there are six of them. So anyway, but it was really a great, and it was actually ended up being a two-part class about rest. And so if you have not listened to this class, I would encourage you to listen to this class because it really helps set up some great thoughts and habits for 2019. We cannot continue to live frazzled lives. We need to live lives where we are enjoying our life, where we have joy, where we live value-based lives, and we are living lives that have impact. And we can't do that when we're frazzled. So for me, this was a really revolutionary class, and I actually got feedback from others who really liked it as well. So I would encourage you to say that, oh, Lisa said it was one of her favorites as well. Shannon, I would agree with you about Mrs. Maisel. I really wish she did not curse so much. All right, so this is a really bad slide that I did not make pretty at all, so sorry about that, but we are going to have a brilliant 2019. Maybe that's all we need to say, is that we don't need fanfare. It just is fantastic. All right, so here's what we're going to cover in 2019. I'm so excited. All right, first, we're going to talk about what's next. We're going to talk about contests, pitching, proposals, and indie publishing options. So we're gonna, you know, now that you've finished your NaNoWriMo project, what are you gonna do? So for the aspiring writer who's still moving towards that first sale or that first book out, what do you do? So we're gonna talk about that contest, which ones to enter, how do you pitch, how do you put together a proposal, and if you wanted to go indie, what would you do, right? Then we are going to do Holy Hustle. So we do a book every year. 2 years ago, it was the Alan Arnold book. I know Lisa will remember it. I can't remember it right now. With. That's what it was story called. Story with. Yeah, that's good. Rachel had it. So that was good. And last year it was called The Create. This year we're doing Holy Hustle. And we might be able to get Crystal Stein to come on and talk to us. So we're really, really excited about that. But it's this idea of balance. So it really partners with sacred rest. And it's this idea that, you know, we're supposed to work, that we've been created to work. Work is a good thing, but how do we make it, how do we focus in the right place? And so, and I want to say that even though we talk about, you know, I'm a Christian and I have I talk freely about my faith. I don't necessarily talk about it tons in my craft classes or industry classes, but here is where I'm going to talk about what I believe and my faith. And so for me, this is a big part of just that whole piece as a writer. And so this does have more of a spiritual bent to it. The other classes, well, not so much. We just a basic craft class, and everybody can access that. But just to say, you know, I just want people to realize that this is one where I do talk about what I believe. I talk about my faith a little bit more because it is really about the whole person. And we're going to have a really great class. It's called What You Didn't Know About Publishing and 10 Awkward Questions. All right. So What You Didn't Know About Publishing is a class that Terry brought up that we should have because she, as a new author, she's walking into all these interesting things. So we're going to have a list of things that you guys didn't realize about publishing that you probably want to know. And there are things about the process and things like that, just to let you know. So it's kind of like we're going to walk you through the door of the publishing process and you're going to see the back end, right? And then we're going to talk about this class that Rachel and I did a number of years ago called 10 Awkward Questions. So Rachel and I came up with 10 awkward questions and we then talked about them. And it was a huge hit at ACFW. It was a full class and we're going to do that class for you guys here. We may tweak some of the questions, but questions about, well, when do I know what to get a new agent and how do I know I'm successful and what is a good launch? What's a bad launch? And we're just going to be really transparent and talk through that a little bit. So we're going to just kind of get at the heart of the matter. We're going to be talking about some indie trends for 2019. So things you can do in marketing, things you can do in books, things that are dying, things that aren't that are going up in genre and in marketing ideas and in craft and those sorts of things. We'll deal with some of the bad stuff that's been happening. We'll deal with some of the good stuff. All right. Launch. Okay. So I'm launching 5 books this year. Because I'm going, this is my whole indie year. So I'm going to do two before and afters. And so I'm launching a book and I'm going to give you a summary. I'm going to tell you everything I did for it and what worked and what didn't. And so that you can kind of see all the things, all the good, bad, and ugly. And then I'm going to do it again. I'm going to tweak it and do it again in July. So we're going to have two launch before and afters where you can see how did Susie do with her launch plan. And so hopefully, hopefully it will go well and I will do well. But if I don't do well, I will tell you and I will tweak it and we will see what happens. So I like to be the guinea pig for everybody. Oh, you guys are so sweet. I am excited about this series. It's called the Marshall Family Series. And if you haven't seen it, it's four extremely good looking men and one extremely pretty girl. But you know what I like about them? They're handsome and she's pretty, but she's not like so like beauty queen. She's really normal. And then they're normal-ish, right? But it's really about this family. And I really excited. Oh, you're so sweet. All right. So I love this one. This is a new series that Rachel's doing called Writing Well with Rachel. So Rachel, why don't you come up and tell us a little bit about this series that you're going to do? The man covers. Yeah, that's right. All right. So this is the series where you're going to take that form that you were talking about and you're going to...
Oh, the Kyasti. I was like, I don't know. What am I doing? Find out. Did you guys read my Chiasmus or my Chiastic blog that I wrote not too long ago? So one of the things I just learned about this, actually driving in the car up for my mom's for Christmas, talking with my husband. Basically, it's an ancient form of writing, and it's kind of a poetic, rhythmic type of writing. I actually, when I started investigating it, I thought, what? This is... I kind of understand this. I think I try to do this. And then off of the chiastic writing, there are other types of writing that are similar. But these kinds of, you know, you guys, when we repeat something in a sentence, she was warm and fed and happy, those kinds of rhythms that we develop, those things actually have names. And so I just thought it would help if we understood not only the chiastic structure in a sentence, but also a chiastic structure within the whole story. So like Noah's Ark has a chiastic structure. It begins with the world being in a bad place and cursed, and God curses the ground to Noah and his sons, to the animals, to the ark, you know, to getting on. It goes all the way to where the whole world's flooded. And then it throws in this middle of the story, man in the mirror moment for Moses, but it's the God factor. I call it the X factor. And there's God. God remembers Noah. And then it begins to reverse the story. Where the story left off, the world was flooded. God remembers Noah. Then after he remembers him, it reverses order. The waters begin to recede. Then you see you know, the animals, and then you see the ark, and then you see Noah and his sons, and it ends with the world being blessed, the opposite of the world being cursed. I just thought, wow, that is such a cool structure for us to consider when we're putting our stories together. It's what we teach in My Book Therapy. What can he do in the end that he can't do in the beginning? We go from a negative start to a positive end. I always like to start my story with the same frame of when I began it. So like with Caroline, who was driving into the story, confused about her life in a beat up old Mustang, she leaves the story with clear direction for her life on a jet plane. And so even within the sentence structure of how you might say that, there is a chiastic structure. So anyway, we want to look at that and help add some layers and some poetry and rhythm to our writing.
Excellent. And I can't wait for this because Rachel is such a beautiful writer and I've always wanted to learn all her secrets. So I'm showing up for that class. It's going to be great. So good. All right. So, all right, Terry, come on up and tell us about Tech with Terry, hacks for your writing gear. Oh, wait, I can't hear you.
There you go. Yes, I am going to do a couple. One is going to be on Word and all the different ways you can make Word work for you. I actually write in Scrivener, which I know a lot of you do. You have to work in Word as well, because that's how you'll get all your edits and everything. Plus, there's so many things that I'm discovering as I'm actually working on this class that are even better than I ever even did before. And so I'm excited to share some of the ways to make technology, don't be afraid of it, but let's make it work for us and get the most, and how we can actually make our writing a little bit stronger with it. I also do one on apps, And different ways that I use apps to in my editing process or in my brainstorming process, writing in my SEQs out, different things that are now available that just weren't even there 5 years ago, and just things that are the new times. And I feel like it's good to that we plug in and use them best to our advantage.
Yep, it's good. All those times when you guys see Terry do something cool and you're like, oh, Terry, teach us that, and then we don't have time, this is it. This is the class. So it's going to be Tech with Terry. It's going to be great. And Terry is our tech queen. Oh, you guys, you should see what she does with Excel sheets. It's a little crazy sauce. All right. And Terry, tell us about the advanced Enneagram that we're going to be doing this year.
Yes, it's kind of like Enneagram 2.0 stepped up. We had such a positive response. And I mean, I've loved diving in more and more to the Enneagram, and I know Susie does. And so we're just going to try to take some of our favorite characters from our movies or books and kind of place them all as one of the things we're going to be doing, giving character sketches, because I think it's important to recognize that we've seen heroes and heroines from each of these numbers, that you can't be like, well, a hero is obviously always going to be this number. You know, it's not necessarily. You do see them across the board. And so and so sometimes when you see them that way, you'll be able to say, hey, my character's kind of, I can see that in my character. Maybe I should, it kind of helps you understand the numbers better. I feel like the better you understand the numbers, the easier the process is, just goes smoother.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about that. And then we're going to apply it to some SEQ-agramming.
Yeah.
So we're calling it, yes. And then even some plotting. So it's going to be great. I'm so excited about the character sketches. I think it's going to be revolutionary. You guys are going to be amazed at how that character is this number and this, and then it's just going to open up and go, oh, I understand. And so anyway, very, very excited about that. So yay. Thank you, Terry. Yay. Appreciate that. All right, Lisa, why don't you come up and tell us about Writing Life with Lisa?
Okay, I'm sitting in the dark trying to get closer here. Okay, my series is going to basically to inspire you, to give you the courage and the encouragement that you need to move forward in your career, because God has given you a plan and a purpose, and he's not going to allow you to fail it. And so our first class is we're going to talk about writing to inspire. But you have to go inside before you can go out. So in order to learn how to write to inspire your readers, you have to learn how to rise to achieve your dreams. And then from there, we're going to talk about 5 keys to building a career. And for a period of maybe 2 months, I was mostly a part-time writer and I worked for MBT. But now I am juggling 3 jobs and I'm still writing books. And I'm still getting contracts. And if I can do it, you can do. No, Debbie, I'm just sitting in my comfy chair in the living room.
I love it.
Yeah. And so, I also write for Love Inspired, which is category romance. And category romance has a different technique than writing for trade. And so, for trade. And so I'm going to do a 3-part series on writing for Love Inspired, writing category romance. And I guess you could call novellas kind of category romance. But see, with category romance, they're only on the bookshelves, like at Walmart or wherever, for a month, only during the month of their release. And so we're going to do that. And I'm hoping to bring on some really special guests. I'm still working on that, so I don't want to ruin the surprise. And then I have another workshop that I created with Mindy Obenhaus, another Love Inspired author, that I want to present called The Plotting Puzzle. And then Susie and Rachel talk about SEQ so often, and you guys know what SEQ is, but I'm going to show you how I do the SEQ. And so mine's a tiny bit different. I use the same elements, but I have to tweak it to fit with the Love Inspired guidelines and the writing standards. So I want to inspire you. I want to encourage you. And I want you to show that you can do this.
Yeah, it's good. I love it. Really from the trenches. And from the darkness, out comes Lisa into the yes. light to show us.
Yes, I could sit in my office, but my chair hurts my back.
No,
so
no,
I have you're this awesome writing chair in the living room.
It's all good. It's all good. We would all be there. I won't tell anyone, but I'm actually wearing pajamas from my waist down. So there you go.
Oh, I am too. I put a scarf over top of mine.
There you go. Anything goes here. All right, great. Well, thank you, Lisa. It's going to be great. All right, so NaNoWriMo, when it comes around next May or next November, we're going to have this really fun new series called NaNoWriMo Write With Me. And what I'm going to be doing, guys, is starting in October, I'm going to be taking you step by step through creating your things, your books. And so what we're going to do is we're actually going to have, I'm going to say, okay, we're going to do this and we're all going to do it together. And I'm going to create my story as you create your story. And so that you can have, and we're going to start in mid-October. So you have enough time to create your story, ramp it up, and then starting once we get into the NaNoWriMo phase, we'll actually have some elements to layer in into the scenes. And so we're going to have some, we're going to have a couple more hot seats during NaNoWriMo, but then we're also going to be talking about rewriting it, taking it deeper, layering, that sort of thing. We're also going to do some What If I Loved You continuing Good to Great series, diving into Act Two. So if you're wondering how to create that tension in Act Two, we're going to be diving into that this year. Of course, we're still going to have a number of Ask Rachels because we always need to ask Rachel everything. And she's got some great wisdom for us. Woohoo! And we're going to be doing hot seats again because we've really people really like that. And we love that, too. We love, love, love helping you guys. So it's been really, really fun. So that's our year for next year. I cannot wait. If you have something, though, that you want us to cover that we are not covering, please email us. We may already be covering it, but we will definitely, like the end of this year, we had a couple of times where we're like, well, we were going to do this, but let's ask everybody. And we had a couple of people that needed something. So we changed the whole class and we to fit what people needed. So we are totally open to any ideas that you guys have, anything that you have. If we've already taught on it, we may direct you to a class that's already like, you're like, oh, I really need to know Facebook ads. We're probably going to direct you to the Facebook ads class. And if you have a question that we don't cover, feel free to ask us and we'll, you know, maybe answer that. But if it's like a whole topic or something that we haven't covered, please email us. We'd be very, very glad to help. And really email us anytime with any questions that you have. We love answering your questions. We're here to help you, here to encourage you, and we're here to all help each other become better writers and to land this writing career and to make an impact in our world, because I believe your story matters, the one you're writing and the one that you're living, and that you're here for a reason. And we are so glad that you're here. So next week, Indie Insider, what's hot for 2019. We're going to be teaching you some cool new stuff, as well as making you think outside the box a little bit in terms of indie. What could you be doing? It's going to be a great class. And in 2 weeks, we'll have Lisa here. So anyway, thanks so much for being here tonight. Lisa, Terry, Rachel, why don't you guys come on up? We'll say goodbye to everybody. And this is our amazing, amazing pep talk team. And we are here to serve you this year. And we cannot wait to hang out with you guys every Thursday night. It's going to be awesome. That's right. So until we see you next week, go write something brilliant.